is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, December 31st. Finally, we're almost there. 2020, get the F out of here. I mean, it wasn't all bad. There were some good... The NFL was pretty good here in 2020. And of course, getting to launch this podcast this year was pretty freaking awesome. I appreciate your support. If you're still listening to this show, I see you. I see you, Rat Pack. Of course, we are going to give you the final matchup breakdown for 2020 if you have a Week 17 Fantasy Championship. I don't love those, but I get it. Of course, we'll also talk about things for DFS purposes as well on the show today, the final pod of the year, but there's going to be plenty of pods next year. Starting right away, next week we'll be back. We'll talk playoff leagues, postseason fantasy, whatever you want to call it. We'll be doing that, and we'll already start looking forward to the NFL draft, so good time of year. Good time of year for football talk, no doubt about it. Anyway, before I get into that, let me tell you about our presenting sponsor, Monkey Knife Fight. Do you like to play daily fantasy sports? Well, you need to go check out MonkeyKnifeFight.com. MonkeyKnifeFight.com is the fastest growing daily fantasy site in the world because MonkeyKnifeFight.com is different than other daily fantasy sites. That's because on MonkeyKnifeFight.com, there are no salary caps. You don't have to play against sharks, and that means anyone has a chance of winning, even you. MonkeyKnifeFight.com has tons of fun daily contests in all the sports you love. Baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, UFC, NASCAR, WNBA, esports. Monkey Knife Fight has it all, and you know what else? MonkeyKnifeFight.com has a free $5 game for you just for signing up. And if you use the promo code RANT, R-A-N-T, you'll have your first deposit matched instantly up to $50. With a name like MonkeyKnifeFight.com, you can be pretty certain you know what you're going to be getting when you sign up to play monkeys and knives and fights and sports. Sign up and play today at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Play to MKF and win. State and age restrictions apply. See site for full terms and restrictions. Go check it out. Monkey Knife Fight is pretty cool, especially with the NFL playoffs coming up. Go check it out and use that promo code RANT. So let's dive into the matchups for this week. Again, if you have a Week 17 Fantasy Championship game, I don't love it. I mean, I mentioned it on the pod yesterday, but it really comes down to kind of getting screwed over by some of these injury situations or players not starting. So I would look to change it. Now, next year, Week 17 will be the championship for most leagues because we're going to have an 18-week season, 17-game season, 18-week season. But I would still look to change that. Anyway, let's start with Miami and Buffalo. It's a mid-pack matchup for Miami, so nothing really of appeal there. We'll see if Devontae Parker can get back on the field, but if he does, he'll see Trey White. On the other side, it's interesting, though, because the Dolphins are a really tough matchup for quarterbacks. They've allowed they're tied with the Rams for the fewest passing scores allowed per game at 1.1. But then, like, you look at Josh Allen, and, of course, Josh Allen coming off of last week, there were some points this season where, you know, the fantasy masses, they were doubting him a little bit. But overall, the play has been pretty stellar. 34 passing scores, 4,320 passing yards. And of course, the last time he faced Miami, he did throw for four scores. Now, that being said, that was in week two. That was when we still didn't know Miami was a good team. And I think it is a very different team now than then. So just something to think about if you were considering Allen. Also something to think about for Stephon Diggs. He is really close to etching his name in the record books here. He needs 10 catches to pass Antonio Brown for fifth most catches in a single season. Brown had another season above that, but that would get him to 130. It's going to be tough against Xavier Howard. He's allowing a 49% catch rate on the season. So Diggs, maybe somebody who we would look to fade this week. Baltimore, Cincinnati, really only looking on the Baltimore side here. Running backs averaging 5.1 yards per carry against the Bengals, so there is some appeal to J.K. Dobbins, of course, on the ground as well. There's always appeal to Lamar Jackson. I think he's the top quarterback play on the board this week. Going to be the most widely owned, but rightfully so. Nothing really appealing on the Cincinnati side. Even T. Higgins, you know, the matchup isn't that great because, you know, if Jimmy Smith and Marcus Peters don't play, T. Higgins is still going to see plenty of Marlon Humphrey. It won't be like a shadow situation. I'd highly doubt it, but no appeal there. Pittsburgh and Cleveland, speaking of no appeal, this game is a tough one. Because, all right, Cleveland gets the second worst matchup for quarterbacks, third worst for running backs. I do think that there's going to be a point where some of these Steelers starters don't play anymore. And obviously Cleveland is in a position where, you know, with their playoff life on the line here, need to win. I mean, I guess technically speaking, they don't necessarily need to win, but they win and they're in. So anyway, it's an interesting game. Mason Rudolph has some appeal, not going to lie, for DFS purposes because he's sort of cheap. But I'm worried about... So Mike Tomlin basically said that his philosophy isn't necessarily to rest players outright, although Ben is going to rest, but it's more of a rotational type thing. So it's going to resemble more of a preseason game. He didn't say that part. I'm inferring that part, that it resembles more of a preseason game. So just keep that in mind there. It's tough to roll with any of the Steelers in this one. Moving on to Minnesota and Detroit. So Dalvin Cook won't play in this one. I mentioned that on the podcast yesterday. I don't know if Alexander Mattison plays. It's not a safe bet just yet. As I'm recording this here just after noon on New Year's Eve, I don't have a practice report on Alexander Mattison. What am I looking for? Well, I'm looking for him to get more than limited. If he goes full today, then he's going to be good to go. If he doesn't, we need him to get to full tomorrow. If not, it'll be Mike Boone 2.0. Remember week 17 last year? He went off. Week 16, he did not. But, you know, he could be out there. The matchup's amazing. Detroit, number two fantasy matchup for quarterbacks and running backs. So it's a great matchup for really across the board. I think Kirk Cousins is one of the most appealing DFS quarterbacks in play this week. Lions allowing 2.3 passing scores per game. So Cousins and Jefferson, Cousins and Thielen. I think actually the most appealing might be Cousins and Irv, because then you can load up elsewhere, because that's not going to cost you that much for that stack. And then you knock tight end out as well. Minnesota allowing the seventh most fantasy points per game to running backs. So there is some appeal there. I think the matchup is interesting for Marvin Jones. Who? Marvin Jones. Because of how bad the secondary has been for the Vikings. The starting trio has allowed 13 combined receiving scores this season. Whoa. Now, with that said, of course, I'm not going to go too overboard here because Matthew Stafford, I do have a practice report for him for Thursday. Not practicing. I don't think he plays, so I think you have to be careful with Marvin Jones if it's Chase Daniel under center. The Jets and the Patriots, I got nothing for you. Maybe Ty Johnson because he's 4,300 on DraftKings, but I got nothing, man. That's one of those, like, do they really have to play this game? They do. They do. Get excited. Dallas and the Giants. The Giants allow the ninth most fantasy points per game to running backs. Is Ezekiel Elliott going to troll us all this week and go and have a big game? I doubt it, but I'm going to build a Zeke lineup just for giggles here. In a 15-game slate, it's going to be pretty wild. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. I don't expect much. I may also sneak a Tony Pollard lineup in there just in case. But I really think this is a game where Andy Dalton's going to be interesting. Amari Cooper should see a shadow from James Bradbury, who's been awesome this year. 56% catch rate, 10.9 yards allowed in his coverage per catch. So what did Andy Dalton do last week? He threw away from the tough corner. So that puts Michael Gallup right back in play again this week. Same thing with CeeDee Lamb. On the other side, I mean, it is a good matchup for the run game. So in theory, I guess you could have some exposure to Wayne Gallman. I just don't think it's that appealing. You know, the Cowboys allowing the second most rushing yards per game to running backs. Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Not much appeal on the Atlanta side for the run game. Todd Gurley, no thank you. The Bucs' run defense is awesome. Ito Smith is banged up. So, yeah, they may have to throw the ball a little bit. And it's not the best matchup. It's actually the worst matchup for quarterbacks. But I still think they have to throw the ball. And so I don't expect Julio to be on the field. So here's the Calvin Ridley outlook. Like, do you want to spend on him? Which has been a reasonably good strategy down the stretch in DFS. Yes, if Carlton Davis doesn't play. So he's far from the lock to get back on the field. If he doesn't play, then Ridley's going to see Sean Murphy bunting for a good chunk of the game. Bunting allowing an 80% catch rate. So, yeah, all Calvin Ridley all day long. On the other side, though, this is where I want to go after. Tom Brady gets the number one matchup. He's been rolling down the stretch. Atlanta allowing the second most passing yards per game and only one of just six teams to allow two or more passing scores per game. So Brady in particular, I'm keying in on Mike Evans. I really like that stack. So Evans, over the last 2 weeks, 16 catches, 291, and two scores. He needs 40 yards to pass 1,000 again. And he's facing the Falcons secondary, which is pretty crazy. All three of these corners are well over the league average of 0.28 fantasy points per route covered allowed. So, yeah. Mike Evans. Now, I think you could go Godwin. You could go Brown. You could certainly also go Gronk. The Falcons allowing the second most fantasy points per game to tight ends, but I would key in on Evans here. So that's what I'm going to do. It does look like Ronald Jones. Who? Ronald Jones is going to be back on the field, but that's far from the lock. But I would much rather go after the pass defense. Green Bay and Chicago, this is the sixth worst fantasy matchup for Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers, he's in the midst of this amazing season. Now, technically, he could throw for 50 touchdowns, but I don't think it happens because he'd have to throw for six here. But he has 44! 44 on the season. So I don't really care about the matchup, and especially because he threw for four touchdowns against Chicago back in week 12. So whatever. Rodgers is in play. He's just expensive. Aaron Jones, ninth worst matchup for him. So it's something to think about there with Aaron Jones. Do you pay for him? I don't know if I would. But here's the thing. David Montgomery, though, gets the sixth best matchup for running backs in this one. And if you remember, this is where it all started. So Monty was really, really not good for a good chunk of the beginning part of the season. Over the first 9 weeks, he had one rushing score. The yards per carry was ugly. He was coming off a week 9 contest where he went 14 for 30 against the Titans, who you're supposed to run on, or at least be able to. Then he missed some time. He gets back in week 12. Boom! 11 for 103. 5 for 40 and a touchdown as a receiver. Boom. That was against the Packers. Then he goes 17 for 72 and two scores, 4 for 39 against the Lions. Boom. 11 for 113 and a score, 3 for 42 against the Texans. Boom. 32 for 146 and two scores, 1 for 16 as a receiver against the Vikings. And then a final boom last week, 23 for 95 and a score, 2 for 26. What do you think is going to happen, right? He is definitely in play. I like it. Monty yet again. Now, do you pay up for Monty? He's not one of the most expensive, but if you look at like running back right now, all right, most expensive is Alvin Kamara. I'll talk about him in a minute. And then and Derrick Henry. I'll talk about both of those guys. After that, it's Monty. He's at 7,700. You got Chubb at 7,600. You got Eckler at 75. Jonathan Taylor, who I'm now calling Johnny Taylor, at 74. And then Aaron Jones at 71. Those are the only guys up over 7,000. So if you pay up for Monty, you're going to have to find some room elsewhere, I think, because I don't think you can really roster two of these guys without it being a really stars and scrub lineup. I like to have a more balanced lineup than that. But not a bad matchup. Vegas and the Broncos. The Raiders get the ninth best matchup for quarterbacks, the 12th best for running backs. But, you know, here's the thing. With Derek Carr, maybe it's my bias. I don't want to use Derek Carr here. And thinking about it on the other side, I kind of dig the idea of Drew Lock. And I know this is like, this is so playing with fire. But he's 700 cheaper. He's 5,000. Derek Carr is 5,700. He is basically playing for his future here. A bad week, and that seals the deal, because a bad week probably means they lose, right? If they lose, where do they pick in the draft? Right now, as it stands, Denver's in the 10 spot at 5-10. If they go 5-11, they could be in like the 8, the 7. I mean, you're talking, there's an outside shot that Wilson or Fields falls, or you're just locked in to Lance in that spot. I don't know, man. Got something to play for, that's for sure. I would stack with Jerry Jeudy here, even though he had 5 drops last week. He's $4,200, though. All those targets. Or you could potentially go the Noah Fant route if you were deciding on this. It's not a bad matchup at all for Melvin Gordon as well. But on the other side, I mean, Josh Jacobs is in play. It's the 12th best matchup for running backs. Denver gets the 3rd best matchup, though. So like me some Melvin Gordon here. With no Philip Lindsay, remember. Jacksonville, Indy, of course, no James Robinson. Of course, he doesn't owe us anything. Dario Gumbawale is nice and cheap, so he is definitely in play. From a value standpoint, he's one of the better values on the board. He's 4,500. He's going to be basically a three-down guy. He's not going to touch the ball as much as Robinson did, but he was basically a three-down guy last week, which is surprising, but that's how they used him. I'm not going to think twice about it. DJ Chark, tough matchup for DJ Chark in this one against Xavier Rhodes. So I'm going to fade the passing game. But on the other side, the Jags, one of just six teams to allow over one rushing score per game. So Johnny Taylor, yes, sir. Also, 2.2 passing scores per game allowed by this defense. So Phillip Rivers is in play. And this is an interesting one as well, because Indy, they need a bunch of different things to happen. I mean, they could win the South and get in if they win and Tennessee loses or ties. They could get in with a tie and a Tennessee loss. They also get in the playoffs with a win and a Baltimore loss or tie, a win and a Cleveland loss or tie. There's so many different moving parts here. They have to win. It's pretty much win or tie. So Phillip Rivers, you know, this will probably be the last regular season game that we see of him, but we may still see him in the playoffs. So anyway, Rivers, I like getting sneaky with this one as opposed to just going Rivers-Hilton. I think, you know, Hilton's matchup against Malcolm Butler might mean some more targets for Michael Pittman or Zach Pascal, but I prefer Pittman. Chargers-Chiefs, no Mahomes, that's definite. I don't know if we're going to see or how much we're going to see of the rest of the key stars. So Darrell Williams is interesting. You can run on the Chiefs. Kansas City, the number 11 matchup for running backs, so you can, you know, certainly consider Eckler here. It's a tough matchup for Mike Williams. Charvarius Ward, Rashad Breeland, both pretty stingy on the outside. So I think if I'm going to go after anything in this game, it's the running backs. Arizona and the Rams. The Rams defense is freaking awesome. So offensively, here's what they have, by the way. John Wolford under center, no Cooper Kupp, no Daryl Henderson, no Cam Akers, very likely. It's not official, but so it's just a mess. Malcolm Brown is interesting because of how cheap he is. But be careful, because if John Wolford can't move the football, then it doesn't matter how cheap he is. But on the other side, I think you look at Kyler, you look at the matchup, 213.4 net passing yards, 1.1 net passing scores per game. That's tough for Kyler. I don't think this is the week where I'm using him. I also think that DeAndre Hopkins sees a shadow from Jalen Ramsey, those old foes right there. This is not a week where I love Hopkins at all. For DFS purposes, the last time they faced each other was back in week 13. Ramsey held Hopkins to 3 catches on 8 targets for 20 yards. So just in his coverage in that game. So it's a tough one. Moving on to Seattle and San Francisco, the 49ers allow the second fewest yards per carry to running backs at 3.64. So just keep that one in mind for Chris Carson. Don't love Chris Carson here. Really don't love anything on the Seattle side. As you know, bad as the season is, it's been for San Francisco for injury purposes. Man, they have just played such good football, though. I don't like how things have trended down in the passing game. So it's a fade for me for DK. It's a fade for me for Tyler Lockett. DK on the outside. Jason Verrett's been so freaking good this year, so good. Love Jason Verrett. Don't love him for DK Metcalf this week, though. 9.2 yards per catch allowed. Kaywan Williams in the slot allowing 1.9 fantasy points per route covered. That's way below the league average of 0.28. So it's a tough one there. And really not much appeal. Maybe a dart on Jeff Wilson just because, I don't know, I got like a Jeff Wilson bias now. But that's it. Like, so when you're building these lineups, I don't get like crazy. I will build around a core of several key players, and then I sprinkle in the Jeff Wilsons of the world to differentiate some lineups, but that's how I do it. New Orleans, Carolina. Carolina is a number 5 matchup for running backs. Of course, at 9,500, Alvin Kamara is the most expensive running back on the board. Do you use him? I think he's worth having a couple lineups. You know, build a Kamara lineup, see if you like it. That's basically the best advice I can give to you there. Because it's a great matchup, and after last week, it's hard to ignore. He's the only player worth using. I think worth using in the entire game for that matter, because Carolina is going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel at running back. They're going to be using UDFA Rodney Smith out of Minnesota as their lead back against the toughest run defense in the NFL, arguably. No, thank you. Tennessee-Houston, I am so excited for this game. Because, you know, you're talking about a high over-under, 56.5 point over-under. You're talking about Derrick Henry knocking on the door of history. Texans allowing a league high 138.5 rushing yards per game, 1.3 rushing scores per game, running backs averaging 5.4 yards per carry. And in each of his last two games, he has gone over 200 yards against this defense. Can he do it again? Can he get, you know, like, hey, 225 will get you there. Get you over 2,000, man. Can he do it? I don't know, but I'm going to use him at 9,400. That's the other thing. He is not cheap this week. But I do still like using some Derrick Henry, just given the potential and given what he's done recently against this Texans defense. I also think A.J. Brown and Corey Davis are interesting this week. Hopefully people are, you know, maybe a little off put by last week's lack of production, and that suppresses their ownership a little bit. But I mean, you know, the fact that A.J. Brown is on the left 62% or the right, that is 62% of the time, means he's going to see Vernon Hargraves a good chunk of the game. Hargraves has allowed 3 touchdowns in his last 5 games. Keon Crossen on the other side. Crossen, he saw 12 targets last week, so Corey Davis could be in for it as well. So that's all interesting. On the other side, it's interesting because Deshaun Watson, I mean, the numbers this year have been awesome for Watson. And, you know, I talked about it a little bit yesterday with the ranking stuff, but seriously, awesome. 4,458 passing yards, 30 passing touchdowns. He's going to go for what? Almost 4,800 passing yards, maybe more. 32, 33 passing scores. It's awesome. So I want to load up on him. If I'm going to stack with him, actually, Brandon Cooks is interesting here because Cooks could see a shadow from Malcolm Butler. And if you look at the overall outlook of Malcolm Butler in the season, you might say, okay, well, that's a good matchup, Jeff. I don't know. 55% catch rate over his last 3. So that could be a scenario then where you put Chad Hansen in play, you could put Jordan Akins in play, you put Kiki Kuti, who's a little banged up, in play as well. There's a lot of different directions you can go in that game, which makes it really appealing for DFS purposes. Let's move to the last game on the slate, Washington and Philadelphia. Washington is banged up nearly across the board. Terry McLaurin banged up, Antonio Gibson banged up, Alex Smith banged up. It could be pretty messy if Taylor Heineke's under center. So I'm really probably only looking to the Philly side here. Jalen Hurts is definitely in play. He may actually be a little under-owned this week, which might make him the play. And keep an eye on, and of course, this is probably only for showdown, unless there'll probably be a full slate. But regardless, I haven't seen prices for that yet. That's why I'm asking. But regardless, like, keep an eye on Dallas Goedert. If he misses this week because he is banged up, I mean, Zach Ertz could see double-digit targets very easily, so just keep that one in mind in this contest here. I'm trying to tie a bow on anybody who I didn't talk about. Oh, I did miss Allen Robinson. I don't think he's going to see a shadow from Jair Alexander, so Kevin King's allowing 15.9 yards per catch. Allen Robinson should have no problem. Sterling Shepard's kind of interesting on the other side of that Dallas game, by the way. Jordan Lewis out of the slot, 16 catches on 21 targets over his last 3. So I would go after that. In terms of any other downgrades, looks like I got all my downgrades. So there we go. That's it. That's 2020 in the books, baby. And like I said, really appreciate you sticking around for this entire ride. 2021, bigger and better things are coming. I can guarantee it right now. But appreciate you for listening. Keep reviewing the show on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to call it. The easiest way to do so is to open up your podcast app on your iPhone. If you happen to have one, go to my podcast, The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe, and then click the stars, and you are done. If you don't have an iPhone, you can review the show on the web. It takes you only a few seconds, and honestly, it goes a lot longer than that for me, for your few seconds of time. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, hashtag Rat Pack, that way I know you're a listener of the show. And of course, please go check out FTNFantasy.com. Remember, my rankings from yesterday are free, so go check those bad boys out right now. All right, I will catch you on the flip side. A new year, but the same podcast, baby. On Monday, we're getting you set up for your postseason fantasy football leagues. Looking forward to it. Happy New Year, baby. Happy freaking New Year. All right, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here. We'll be right back.